Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue. Welcome back to Dialogue on Dialogue. This is Chapter 5 of Ben Franklin's autobiography, where I look to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little bit better every day. Jim Rohn famously said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." I'm guessing it's safe to say that Ben Franklin probably never heard that quote, but he certainly lived it. Long before he became one of America's most influential founding fathers, Franklin was careful about choosing the people around him. He wasn't looking for the richest friends or the most powerful friends. He was looking for people who made him think. Today's chapter reminds us that one of the most important decisions we make in life isn't where we live or what job we take. It's who we choose to spend our time with. Chapter 5 gives us a glimpse into Ben Franklin's growing social life in Philadelphia. Although still a young man, Franklin was beginning to attract friends who shared his love of learning, conversation, and intellectual curiosity. One of these friends had become fascinated with Franklin's ability to debate using this Socratic method. Rather than overwhelming people with forceful arguments, Franklin had learned to ask thoughtful questions that gently exposed weakness in another person's reasoning. His friend was so impressed by Franklin's ability here that he proposed an unusual partnership. His friend wanted to found an entirely new religious sect, which was actually fairly common in the time. His plan was simple. He would preach the new beliefs while Franklin would stand beside him and use his questioning skills to defeat anyone who challenged their ideas. Franklin actually agreed to help, but with one condition. His friend would have to stay a vegetarian along with him. It turns out convincing someone to change their entire diet was harder than convincing them to start a new religion. His friend couldn't stick with it, and the plan eventually quietly faded away. For Franklin, however, vegetarianism had become more than a philosophical experiment. He discovered it was also a very practical method of living. By eating simple meals, he could save money that would otherwise be spent on food. More importantly, preparing inexpensive meals often left him with extra time to read while others were eating at elaborate dinners. Even his diet became an investment in his future. During this period, Franklin also began pursuing a young woman whose company he quite enjoyed. Her mother, however, believed that Franklin was still just a little too young and financially unstable for marriage. She advised him to wait until he was 21. There's that 21-year-old again. And establish in business before pursuing this relationship any further. Once again, Franklin encountered a reoccurring lesson in his life. Ambition alone wasn't enough. Stability mattered too. Perhaps the most enjoyable part of the chapter is Franklin's description of his inner circle of friends at the time. These weren't drinking buddies or casual acquaintances. They were readers, writers, and thinkers. On weekends, they would leave the city and walk out into the surrounding woods and spend hours discussing books, philosophy, writing, and ideas. Sometimes they even wrote poetry and critiqued one another's work. They weren't simply entertaining themselves. They were sharpening one another. Without realizing it, Franklin was laying the foundation for what would eventually become the Junto, a small group dedicated to mutual improvement that would go on to influence both Philadelphia and eventually America itself. Here are a few lessons that I pulled out of chapter 5 of the autobiography of Ben Franklin. Lesson 1, choose friends who challenge you. Franklin intentionally surrounded himself with people who loved learning. Their conversations weren't centered on gossip or complaints. They discussed things like books, ideas, writing, poetry. Each person helped make the others just a little bit better. It's worth asking ourselves a simple question. Do the people that I spend most of my time with encourage me to grow or simply help me stay comfortable? Lesson number 2, small sacrifices create big opportunities. Franklin's vegetarian experiment wasn't primarily about health. It was about priorities. By spending less money on food, he gained something far more valuable: time, money, and additional opportunities to learn. Every one of us makes small choices each day. Some consume our future, others invest in it. Franklin consistently looked for ways to convert today's sacrifice into tomorrow's opportunity. Lesson number 3, build before you rush. Twice now in the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, he has encountered the same advice. You're talented, but first, become established. Whether it was his father delaying the printing business or a young woman's mother delaying marriage, Franklin kept hearing the same message. Build your foundation before building everything else upon it. Patience is often one of the most underrated forms of wisdom. Lesson number 4. Great communities start small. Franklin's weekend discussions in the woods may have seemed insignificant. Just a few young friends talking about books. But those conversations planted the seeds that would eventually grow into one of the most influential civic organizations in colonial America. History reminds us that remarkable movements often begin with just a handful of people who decide to grow together. One of the most striking things about Benjamin Franklin's early life is that he never waited until he was successful to begin living intentionally. He chose his friends intentionally. He spent his money intentionally. He managed his time intentionally. He pursued learning intentionally. Long before Franklin became a famous inventor, diplomat, or founding father, he was becoming the kind of person capable of those achievements. And perhaps that's the lesson of this chapter. Success isn't usually the thing that changes us. It's the daily habits and the people we choose to share them with that shape who we become eventually. Until next time, remember, the lessons are older than we are and just as relevant today.